Hello, this is John Henschen, president of Henschen & Associates, and welcome to our podcast titled Houston, LPL has a problem. Actually, let's make that four problems. Being the largest of the independent broker-dealers has its pros and cons. As you peel away the layers of LPL, what you see are some chronic problems that are a result of either their size or management. Problem number one, as LPL has grown, service and back office relationships have become an increasingly mediocre experience for advisors. In our conversations with advisors the last couple of years, it is commonplace for longstanding LPL advisors to pine for the good old days of LPL when they were much smaller. The whole relationship between advisor, back office personnel, and management was a much more connected, enjoyable experience. Today, back office service is something tolerated rather than enjoyed. One solution some large hybrids have done is to be largely self-sufficient as much as possible as they shield themselves from dependence on LPL service. Former LPL recruiters have shared with me that a primary reason for the service issues is the high number of advisors LPL has that do under $200,000 of gross dealer concession and are also solo advisors lacking professional staff. The problem of having numerous smaller producers lacking staff, oftentimes working out of their home, is you have them frequently calling into the back office, tying up the phone system and service staff. So when more substantial producers call in, they become frustrated not being able to get through or leaving messages with long wait times for a callback. Smaller producers also have a higher incidence of compliance problems due to the desperation factor for income, as well as less experience. So you have a larger number of small producers as we have at LPL. You not only have back office service hobbled, but you have high incidence of compliance issues, which has been evident by the extensive history of press releases detailing FINRA fines being imposed on LPL. Problem number two, acquisition of Jackson National broker-dealers will make an already mediocre service experience even worse. With a flood of new advisors coming to LPL from the Jackson National broker-dealers, the back office will be overwhelmed in 2018, as an already understaffed back office will be inundated with new accounts to switch and new advisors to service. This will have a large impact on existing advisors as they will find wait times and service quality quickly erode. For other broker-dealers that have brought on large numbers of Jackson advisors, we've already seen an impact in service since October when the migration of advisors started. The proverb, be careful what you wish for, least it come true, is applicable to the rapid broker-dealer growth. Former head of broker-dealer Financial Network Investment Corp, Miles Gordon, once said in an annual conference that quickly growing the number of advisors in a given year can have detrimental effects on back office service. When a firm like LPL buys four broker-dealers, the writing's on the wall that the aftermath won't be pretty. Call-in wait times increase, you will frequently be talking to ignorant new employees on a learning curve, and business process accuracy and speed oftentimes hit a wall. Everyone suffers with a decline of service with large injections of new advisors. Problem number three, LPL's culture has been problematic and Dan Arnold, the president, is not addressing the need for improvement due to his background. Dan Arnold's prior background as CFO at LPL speaks volumes as to what matters to him, financials, and not much else. It has been communicated to me by heads of large producer groups that it is all about the numbers for Dan Arnold, but making cultural improvements, better communication and relationships between advisors and management just isn't on Mr. Arnold's radar. LPL is an ivory tower management with minimal ongoing dialogue between management and advisors, with only the largest of producers and super OSJ getting their attention. LPL's large size can account for much of the cultural problems, but management makes little effort to counter the rift between advisors and management. Problem number four, LPL has turned their back on the hybrid model. Much of the recruiting growth over the last 10 years has been advisors going the hybrid route, which translates to advisors having their own RIA with their advisory assets held in TD Ameritrade, Schwab, or Fidelity. Recently, LPL has taken a posture of wanting advisors to hold advisory assets under the broker-dealer's RIA and hold those assets in proprietary LPL advisory platforms, which brings greater profitability to LPL. The carrot on the stick LPL is offering hybrid advisors is lowering administrative fees on their proprietary platform, while at the same time raising the bar on the amount of assets advisors need to create their own RIA with a new threshold of $50 million in advisory assets. Now, LPL boasts how their scale allows them to be more competitive on their advisory administrative fees, with those costs coming down on an individual basis. Well, here's the new pricing scale. It's 20 basis points for advisory assets between 25 and 100,000, 15 basis points between 100 and 250,000, 12.5 basis points between 250 and 500,000, 10 basis points between 500 and 1 million, and 1 million or more, you're down to 3 basis points. Now, 3 basis points is attractive, but be aware that there are numerous mid-sized broker-dealers charging only $25 to $50 annually for administration per account, utilizing technologies like Orion for reporting, so advisors can get away from the basis points charges altogether and be much more aggressive at cutting costs on their advisory managed assets. Also, these LPL administrative fees don't take into account extra charges for portfolio reporting or trading costs. The lower administrative fee that LPL is charging is intended as an enticement for advisors to go under the LPL RIA and to relent in holding their advisory assets away at TD or Schwab. Department of Labor rules are making the hybrid model increasingly popular to advisors, but LPL is choosing to go the opposite direction with proprietary advisory and being under the broker-dealer's corporate RIA. Clearly, a Dan Arnold financial move. In conclusion, probably the best evidence of chronic problems at LPL was a broker-dealer report in April 2017 issue of Wealth Management magazine with a survey asking, how likely are you to still be affiliated with your current broker-dealer 2 years from now? Firms like Commonwealth ranked high with a score of 85% for likely and 4% for somewhat likely, while LPL ranked at the bottom with 49% for very likely and 37% for somewhat likely. LPL advisors are obviously not happy campers. Thank you for listening to our podcast, and feel free to look over the many industry-related articles we've had published on our website, findabrokerdealer.com, by looking under the news icon. Thank you for your time.